So I'm going to preach this morning on Herod. And this was on my mind for a couple weeks because as I was doing my normal Bible reading in Mark chapter 8, came across these words of Jesus and they struck me. Verse 15, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And I looked into this and I found the parallel passage in Matthew, I believe, and it's interesting. It's very obviously the same story. The disciples were in a boat and Jesus said this to themselves, we read in the next verse, and they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. And in one of the other stories, the disciples are reasoning, they say, it's because we have forgotten to take bread. And in verse 17, when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? He goes on to tell them, you know, the 5,000 and how many loaves we started with and how many baskets we took up, or the 7,000, how many loaves we started with, how many baskets we, or sorry, the 4,000 and the 7 loaves we started with and the 7 baskets we took up. And then the disciples end up Then the disciples understood that he was talking about the leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees. And in Matthew it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Mark it says the Pharisees and Herod. And I was trying to figure that out and I ended up looking at a few commentaries and some of the commentators concluded that Herod was a Sadducee, and that the Sadducees and the Herod in this context were to say the same thing. But I'm honestly more inclined to believe that Jesus said all three, and that the different authors recorded different, and that Jesus actually challenged the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the leaven of the Sadducees, and of the leaven of Herod. And I couldn't prove it either way. I couldn't prove it either way what it was originally, but here we do have it recorded that we are to beware of the leaven of Herod. And I want to do a little study on the life of Herod this morning because it is actually quite interesting. Every time we see Herod come on the scene, he chooses to please people rather than do what's right, making Herod a very good example of how not to be. And I think many times people look at themselves and they say, I have this little problem of pleasing people. In their own mind, they view it as the smallest of all sins that they will just deal with casually over time. But as we look at the life of Herod, we will see just how dangerous pleasing people can be. So with that, I'd like to pray, and then I'll go into some of these passages. Our Father, I do thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can be here to gather around your word and let it sink into our hearts and lives and mold us, conform us. And Father, we do pray that none of us here would be snared by the snare of pleasing people. Father, that we would find the grace and the strength to do what's right, even in the face of our best friends or our worst enemies. Help us, Lord, in this way, and help us to be challenged as we look at the life of Herod this morning. Amen. So the first passage I would like to turn to is Mark chapter 6. Starting in verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, heard of Jesus, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves of him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He's risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee under the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." That's just like a platter. "Give me on a platter the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded that his head be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Herod enjoyed listening to John the Baptist. He enjoyed his sermons. He was a good preacher, and when he heard him, he made a number of reforms in his life. But at the end of the day, he chose to please his wife and his princes rather than do what was right. Luke records that even John being in prison was done by Herod. In Luke 3:19, "But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved of him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." Herod enjoyed listening to John preach. He did many things, but he never died to himself. We read in Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Many people talk of some pious person who has only one fault, but that's not a very biblical idea. You might hear people say, "He's a very good guy, he's just mean when he's drunk." Or he gambles, or he watches bad movies. And such an idea is opposed to Christianity. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, the entire thing, with all its affections and all of its lusts. We have in Colossians 3:5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Without the mortification of every lust, no lust can be mortified. And when someone decides to deal with sin on a one-by-one basis, they don't get very far. But when someone understands that they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, the entire thing with the affections and lusts, and you deal with all sin once and for all in its entirety, we call it dying to self. And that works. Herod was working on being a good man, and he did many things. But he was not willing to address the entire sin issue all at once and mortify the deeds of the flesh. And he chose rather to please people. That one little thing led him from having a wife that was not lawful to murder. Herod liked John, but at the end of the day, there were other people that he liked more. And he was willing to use John to improve his relationship with those people. It says, Herod was sorry. When Herodias' daughter asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Yet, for the sakes of the people that he had invited to his birthday party, he wouldn't say no. And he chose rather to please them than to do what was right, and he murdered a man. But we continue to see Herod in Luke 9:7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, by Jesus. This is a parallel passage to what we just read. And he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. He desired to see Jesus. And then we find in Luke 23:8, and we'll come to this verse later, but I need it just for this one idea. When Jesus was being tried by Pilate, and Pilate sent him over to Herod, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. Because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod killed John, and then he hears stories about Jesus, so he desires to see Jesus. Not because he needs a Savior, but because he hears these amazing stories, and he wants to see some miracle done by him. And I can't help, when I think about this, to think of so many people that I've met in my life who, like Herod, desire some meeting point with Jesus. They desire some religious experience. But they have no real desire to know Christ as he is. And if they did see Jesus, they would mock him and send him back to Pilate the same way that Herod did. Because in fact, by their lives, they do mock him every day. So let's look at the story of Jesus before Pilate and then Herod in Luke 23, starting in the beginning of the chapter. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves. Herod had desired to see Jesus for quite some time. But when the time finally came, when he had this opportunity, Herod had other things that were more important to him than getting to know Jesus the Christ. And Herod decided it was more important to become friends with Pilate than it was to do right with Jesus. Many people, again, growing up in Christian families, find a desire for some kind of meeting point with Jesus. But when the opportunity comes, they make the same choice that Herod made, and they choose to make friends. They choose to please people rather than do right with Jesus. For Jesus to stand before Herod was kind of a second chance for Herod. He had already killed John, and now he has the opportunity to set Jesus free. But he chose to become friends with Pilate instead. But even still, this is not all we see of Herod. After he missed this second chance, we see in the book of Acts, after the church has been established, in Acts chapter 12, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing to the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Skipping a few verses down, "Now as soon as it was day," in verse 18, "there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode." Peter, I think that was. So after killing John for the sake of the princes, Herod missed an opportunity to set Jesus free, choosing rather to make friends with Pilate. Now he has killed James. And when he saw that it made the Jews happy, he decided to take Peter too. Herod was doing the same thing that he did throughout his whole life. He was simply choosing to please men and make friends rather than do right. And then it's very interesting, we come to the death of Herod, in the same Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 20. "And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, 'It is the voice of a god and not of a man.' And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." The death of Herod is so congruent with his life. Through his life, every time we see him, he is choosing to please men rather than do right. And here, he chose to accept the praise of men to the point of being called God. It's not a common thing for God to smite a man like this, but what a fitting thing for a man who had so much light, who sat at the preaching of John the Baptist, who had the opportunity to stand before Jesus and ask him questions. But every time he had such an opportunity, he chose to please men rather than do what was right. He had so much light and had hardened himself so long. And then, when the time came, Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but these people, having made Blastus their friend, he probably instructed them, he's like, this is just how you can make Herod happy. Call him a god. And it worked. Except that God killed him. Herod lived for the praise of men. And Herod's life was filled with vivid and horrifying things. But at the root of them all was just a simple desire for the praise of men. Something so small that seems so insignificant is what caused all of these horrifying acts. Even to the way he died was caused through his greed for the praise of men. A desire for the praise of men is what killed John the Baptist. A desire for the praise of men is what kept Herod from freeing Jesus. A desire for the praise of men is what killed James, and it's what tried killing Peter, and finally it is what killed Herod himself. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." I think it's often easy for us to run by a verse like this without realizing a life like Herod's was caused by exactly what Paul was talking about. Paul found that being a Christian made it impossible for him to please men. And he realized that on the other hand, if he were to start trying to please men, it would make it impossible for him to be a Christian. And Paul knew this firsthand. He knew firsthand what pleasing men would do for him. Except for the grace of God, Paul's story would have been just like Herod's. The first thing we see of Paul, he's standing by when men are stoning Stephen and he's consenting unto Stephen's death. Then the next thing we see of Paul, he's on the road to Damascus with orders to hail to prison all that worship Jesus. But God stops him on that road, and God ends Paul's people-pleasing career. He spent the rest of his life pleasing God, and he is who says right here, "Do I now please men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men," if I yet, referring to the fact that he used to, "I used to please men. But if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ." And if it wasn't for this steadfast commitment of Paul's, the story of Paul would have been just like the story of Herod. It's so serious. Pleasing men is. Pleasing people is a great snare, and I fear that most people have no idea just how dangerous it is. Who would have guessed that Herod's life would have turned out the way it did? Who would have guessed that a little desire to to please people would have caused such problems. Going back into the Old Testament, who would have guessed that Balaam would have ended up teaching people to commit fornication when he started out just simply trying to please a king? All he was trying to do was please Barak. And he ended up teaching people to commit fornication. Who would have guessed? Revelation 2:14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Balaam was just trying to please Barak. He would have cursed Israel, but the Lord would not let him. So he ended up telling Barak how Barak could curse Israel. I can see Balaam and Balak talking one day. Balaam said something like, "You know, Balak, the Lord's not going to let me curse Israel, but you could do it. All you have to do is take your gods and your women and go down there, seduce them." Balaam started out with every godly intention, but he couldn't resist the urge to please people. When Jesus walked this earth, there was a number of people that became convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't confess him for this reason. We read about it in John chapter 12, verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." This is a very sad thing, especially when you consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 10:32 and 33. "Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." These men chose the praise of men over eternal life. And that brings the praise of men down to what it really is. The praise of men has led many a man to eternal judgment. All Herod was trying to do was please his wife, and he killed John the Baptist. All Herod was trying to do was please the Jews, and he killed James. All these men were trying to do was please the Pharisees, but they denied their only hope of salvation. All Balaam was trying to do was please Balak, but he ended up teaching people to commit fornication, and he died by the sword of the hand of Israel. Beware of this little thing called pleasing people. It'll lead you to the worst crimes. If you allow yourself the privilege just once of pleasing people rather than doing right, there is no bound to the evil that you will do. This one little thing will spoil your entire life. So let's examine ourselves and compare ourselves to Herod. Would you have chosen Jesus? Or would you have chosen Pilate? So many things here that in one respect they seem so far out there that it's hard for us even to compare ourselves to Herod. Because it's easy for us to look at him as such an evil, wicked man that the things that he was doing were not even in the realm Yet at the same time, when you begin going down that road of pleasing people, you will very quickly see these parallels come up in your life. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this example that you've left to us of Herod and how pleasing people destroyed him. And we pray that we would all be honest with ourselves and examine ourselves faithfully. Father, that we would be able to say with Paul that we do not please men, that we please you. So help us, Lord. Amen.